Welcome to another broadcast of the Work for Life radio program. With me in the studio is the co-host of the broadcast, Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor at Northern Baptist Bible College. And Doc, we are right in the middle of an exciting series on relationships, and particularly as those relationships are fleshed out for men and women in the context of marriage. And this is in the middle of our series on our family becoming strong in the Lord. And we are, in our last broadcast, talked about really how this looks in terms of basic principles for a man. How do we flesh it out in our life as men to be Spirit-filled? And we ended just before you could get to some very important ideas and concepts about what that really does look like in a man's life. And so I wonder if maybe you could kind of pick up where we left off in our last broadcast. For those of you listening, if you are interested in the last broadcast in particular, www.thewordforlife.org is our web address, and you can download that program and all of the programs in this series there as well. But, Doc, maybe you could just kind of give us a picture of what this looks like, Spirit-filled manhood from the New Testament.
Doc Horn, I think it would also be good if they could somehow get a hold of the booklet,
order
the booklet, because then this would be filled in for them.
And those handouts are on our website as well, and they can go and just download the handout entitled Spirit-Filled Man.
Yes, and because I think it's very helpful for them to be able to have something that they can write with. We talked about the Spirit-Filled Man. The solution to sin was solved at Calvary.
Mm-hmm.
The solution to restoring relationships for saved people is the filling of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. We described the husband will love his wife, a Spirit-filled husband. Now, the question we want to address today, what does a Spirit-filled husband look like?
Right.
How is that described? Well, Paul laid the foundation of Spirit-filling. Peter gives the particular guidelines in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 on what is a Spirit-filled husband like in function.
Let me read that for our listeners. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, that's your wife, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered.
There are five things that I call tools that build relationships.
Okay.
Four of them are found in this text, verse 7, and then there's another one that I take out of Proverbs that I think is essential as a cement to help
pull all these together.
Number one, it says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them. Number one, live with her. That's the tool of time.
Okay.
Would you mind turning back to Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 5? And we will see what was built into Mosaic law. When you see how did God value the wife in that new marriage relationship.
And that's what it's talking about. When a man hath taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year, and shall cheer up his wife which he hath taken.
Okay, so what was man's number one job for 1 year when he married under Mosaic law?
To please his wife.
Yeah, cheer up his wife which he hath taken. You know what that tells me? That the man has a responsibility to stabilize the emotion of the wife by using the tool of time.
Mm-hmm.
And you can picture how these relationships came together. And I'm sure there was a time frame that there were a lot of adjustments, as there is in any marriage.
Right.
But a wise husband is going to take the time that is essential to stabilize her emotions, because she is wondering, where do I fit in the pecking order? Where do I fit in this whole picture as we see that? 6 years ago when I thought, you remember flying back from California, when I thought my wife was dead based on the information I'd gotten from the airline, you remember I stared out that window. Because you know what was on my mind? Time. In this almost 40-year relationship at that point, was I wise in how I spent time?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, time becomes very crucial when you think it's gone. And you remember in the camp that on one Friday night, I took my ruler and clicked it down.
Oh,
you know, I used that phrase many times, life is a dash between dates. And as I was going out the door to do the Thursday night of family camp here at Northland, I told my wife, I'm going to take my ruler and speak on this tool of time. And I said, don't take for granted the person sitting next to you in chapel will be sitting there when the sun goes down at night. That's too much to assume. Little did I realize that there was a man 50 years old in great health, very healthy eater, very diligent in working out. Little did I realize that on Friday, mid-afternoon, he was going home to be with the Lord.
Wow. I remember that.
And the wife, as I was up at the hospital hugging these 9 children, and then his wife came up and hugged me, and there was the husband, and there was the dad laid out in his gym shorts and tennis shoes. And his wife said, you know what? The last thing Dennis and I did this morning when you dismissed chapel, Dennis said, come over here. And I slid closer to him in chapel, and he said, let's pray, honey, and thank God for the years he has given us together, and let's not take for granted.
Wow.
She said, that was the last thing Dennis and I did.
What a wonderful last thing to do.
And really, when my wife was told that she was not going to live, and my children were told that their mom was not going to live, they had 5 minutes to say what they wanted to say.
How do you say that?
What would you say in 5 minutes if you knew your loved one was going home?
Boy, that's almost impossible to even comprehend, isn't it?
That's the tool of time. Live with her. Secondly, according to knowledge, that is, use the tool of thinking. That is, okay, now, how can I picture her need? And why, what a responsibility. God will give man wisdom for the needs of his wife, but he does have to stop and think.
So this is the idea of learning about her.
You know what I suggest for men when I do men's conferences? I said, you know, on your way home from work, ask yourself, am I ready to go home? Stop and get coffee. Sit down for 10 minutes and say, God, prepare my heart to go home. Because what does my wife need when I walk through the door? She doesn't need me coming in with the house topsy-turvy and say, honey, do you have trouble organizing your time? You know, I mean, that's the way we are.
Right.
But here's with 3 kids all day long that are 4 and under.
Boy, that's a convicting suggestion, isn't it? To just stop before you get home and really mentally prepare yourself to minister to your wife.
And I think that's according to knowledge. God, show me what her need is. She needs to be thinking, my husband's going to be home at 5:30. What does he need when he walks through that door from me? That's learning how to think of each other's needs. If we can learn to visualize each other's worlds, it solves a lot of problems.
It sure does.
And the thinking, and then I say, when your hand touches the doorknob or the latch, let that be your final checkpoint. Am I filled with the Spirit? And I said, if we can start doing that. Thirdly, live with her according to knowledge, giving honor. That is to consider her precious. The same word that's used for a child to honor his parents in Ephesians 6. To consider them precious. So I call this tenderness. Learning how to be tender. And whether it's a purchase of a rose, whether it is the purchase of something or the writing of a note. I remember talking to a group of men. And a man told a story. A guy came home after 30 years of marriage. On their 30th anniversary, brought her a single rose. And she said, honey, this is thoughtful, but one rose after 30 years, he said, the light changed. And those of you who are from cities can relate to that. You know, they're selling roses at stoplights. But boy, that's a loving husband right there.
Yeah, he blew it.
And that's tenderness. And then giving honor unto her as unto the weaker vessel. Now, that's a tool of testimony. I was speaking to a group of men down in Tennessee a few weeks back. I said, if I were to call your home right now and your teenage son answered the phone, I said, hi, I'm up at a couples conference with your mom and dad. Could you tell me where your dad's favorite place is to pray and to read? What chair?
Wow.
What room? I said, what do you think your son would say if I got your son on the phone or your daughter or your 9-year-old? Where do you see mommy praying? We have a responsibility to be a testimony. A, my wife needs to see me diligently growing in my Christian life. She needs to see me with an open Bible. She needs to see me in prayer. She needs to see me burdened for the lost. She needs to see me handing out gospel tracts. Because as a testimony, the weaker vessel needs to learn by the model and the testimony of that one who is
the stronger.
And then I add number five, laugh with her. And I call this the tool of being tickled. So we take time. We think. We're tender. We maintain a testimony that we love God and walk with God. And then the tool of being tickled. Learn to laugh. Laughter doeth good, like medicine.
I mean, there's some people who actually think that might be unspiritual.
You know, Doc Horn, I don't trust people who can't laugh. I don't think they're holy as much as they're bitter.
Mm.
And I don't mean laughing at dumb things, foolish things.
Right.
Paul warns us against
right.
that. And I've been guilty of that, where maybe it's just foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, the life itself is the funniest thing going. If your wife comes home and the front end of the car is rearranged, you have to decide, do I want a good car or I want a good marriage? At that point, you cannot have both. And you have to stop and think,
yeah.
Okay, this car is going to be a beer can in Milwaukee in 5 years.
Right.
And my wife is going to be around for a long time if the Lord tarries. So I have to make the decision that counts. Because what angers me normally reveals what is valuable to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I liked what a young couple had a goal to buy this sports car. And they finally got it. They got the money. They bought this sporty car. They were both proud, both happy. She took it to the grocery store, making a left turn against traffic. Car came through, hit her, smashed the front end of that brand new car they had just purchased.
Mm.
They both longed and loved the day when they could get that. She shakingly opens the glove compartment. Police have been called. A crowd is gathering. She's getting the paperwork out. She had just put it in the glove compartment from the dealer, the insurance paperwork. And she thought, my husband's going to kill me. And she opens the envelope from the dealer where the paperwork is. And there's a note that says, to my wife. And he had slipped the note into that
envelope.
And said, to my wife. Honey, if you ever wreck this car and you're safe and alive, this car means nothing to me compared to you.
Hmm.
Boy, there's a wise husband who made a very wise
right.
choice.
What a great story.
And so the lesson learned in that, whoever told that story, is a truth that has to carry us
mm-hmm.
into these relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Time, thinking, be tender, be a testimony. And learn to laugh.
What a way to end the broadcast today. We're thankful, Doc, for the insights the Lord has given us through you. You can download today's broadcast as well as the other broadcasts in the series at www.thewordforlife.org. And until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.